We come now to our scripture reading today, which is found in the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 34, verses 1 to 12. Let's pray before we get into this. Lord, we thank you for the reading of your word, and that through this reading we experience your grace and your mercy. We pray to you, Lord, that you lead us and guide us as you desire. Help us to know what it is that you want us to through this scripture. We pray to you, Lord, that the words spoken are can also be used for your honor and glory. And anything that is not of you, we pray, is forgotten. But encourage us, challenge us, and draw us closer to you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 34, verse 1 to 12. Hear now God's word. Then Moses climbed Mount Nebo from the plains of Moab to the top of Pisgah, across Jericho. There the Lord showed him the whole land, from Gilead to Dan, all of Naphtali, the territory of Ephraim and Manasseh, all the land of Judah as far as the Mediterranean Sea, the Negev and the whole region from the valley of Jericho, the city of palms, as far as Zoar. Then the Lord said to him, "This is the land I promised on oath to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, when I said, 'I will give it to your descendants.' I have let you see it with your eyes, but you will not cross over into it." And Moses, the servant of the Lord, died there in Moab, as the Lord had said. He buried him in Moab, in the valley opposite Beth Peor. To this day, no one knows where his grave is. Moses was 120 years old when he died, yet his eyes were not weak, nor his strength gone. The Israelites grieved for Moses in the plains of Moab 30 days, until the end of weeping and mourning was over. Now Joshua, son of Nun, was filled with the spirit of wisdom because Moses had laid his hands on him. So the Israelites listened to him and did what the Lord had commanded Moses. Since then, no prophet has risen in Israel like Moses, whom the Lord knew face to face, who did all those signs and wonders the Lord sent him to do in Egypt, to Pharaoh and to all his officials and to his whole land. For no one has ever shown the mighty power or performed the awesome deeds that Moses did in the sight of Israel. This is the Lord of God. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. Anyone know what that picture is? Who's here? You might be able to read that the title is on it, but it's really small. I understand you're kind of far away. This is Mount Everest. Mount Everest. One day I want to stand at the top of Mount Everest. I would love that. It's not quite on my bucket list, but I really wouldn't mind to stand on the top of Mount Everest. Don't get me wrong, I will never ever climb Mount Everest. I just want to stand at the top of Mount Everest. I don't, a helicopter maybe, teleportation, if it comes to that, I'm not sure. But the view from there, I just can't imagine it. It would be absolutely gorgeous. I'm sure you can Google pictures of people standing up there and showing the view for miles and miles and miles around. But part of the thing that drives people to climb to the top of Mount Everest is not just that joy and that elation of being at the top of the world, but the journey to get there. If it was easy to get to the top of Mount Everest, everyone would do it. That's not true. I still wouldn't do it. It's still too far away. But a lot of people would, a lot more. But it's dangerous. It's rugged. Not everyone makes it. And so, not only saying that you stood at the top of Mount Everest, that's saying something quite big, but it also says to people that you made that journey. You were able to get there. That says a lot too. And I wonder, as Moses was standing on the top of Mount Nebo looking out across everything, what his thoughts were. He has spent the last 40 years of his life, even more, called by God to draw people out of Egypt through some great and mighty miracles, through some very difficult times with great persecution, And he was able to drive, take them out of Egypt, cross the Red Sea, witness all kinds of miracles by God, talk to God face to face, be a friend with God, and then get through the promised land after 40 years, stand on Mount Nebo, and God tell him, this is it. Your journey is over. You have brought them to the brink of the promised land, and now you can no longer go any further. You're done. Moses understood that he was never going to make it from the moment that he became angry and had sin. God had warned him that. And so this was no surprise to him. But I think about, how did he feel about that? Seeing the promised land stretched out before him, so close, and yet he can't go any further. Is he upset? Sad? That he couldn't make it there? Was he disappointed as he looked back on his own life that he had done something that prevented him now from going any further? Maybe. Or maybe he was happy with the sense of fulfillment that he made it this far. That he, through the help of God, was able to bring hundreds of thousands of people in the desert to survive for 40 years up to this very point. Maybe he was thankful that through God's leadership and through God's love in his life, he was able to train up a young man in Joshua to give him his spirit and to know that the rest of the journey was in good hands. Maybe he was at peace, knowing that he did everything he could in his life, given the circumstances that he had. That he did everything he could, and now the rest of the journey was in good shape because of what he did. At peace, knowing that God's got the rest of the way, and that everything else is going to be okay. And that he might have been thankful because he got to at least see the glimpse of the future that the Israelites were going to experience. I thought about the story of Moses for a long while. I think about my life, my future. I'm 41, so, you know, I'm right around that midlife crisis time. Everyone talks about it, where the thought of death is, you know, kind of right there sometimes. And I admit, I would love to see my children's children and their children, and I would love to see their children and 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 their children. You know, in order to do so, I have to be a vampire or some such thing. I would love to see this nation and their flying cars, and would love to be able to travel on vacation to other planets. You know, the Star Trek kind of stuff. That maybe one day we might get to that point. Would love to witness all that stuff. But then read this in Moses and how Jesus as Paul talks about the body of Christ. How Jesus calls us all to a particular purpose. Jesus calls us to a particular time. This is our time. This is our part of the journey. The thing that Moses' story reminds us is that we're all on a journey in life. No matter how far we've traveled from home, we're all on this journey, and it has its ups and downs. But our journey, our part of the journey, will end at some point. Happens to everyone. But the journey itself doesn't end. Someone else takes up that part of the journey where we left off, and it continues. Moses made sure to leave his part of the journey in such a way that someone else can take it up. and continue as smoothly as possible. It reminds me of the story of Elijah and Elisha, where Elijah was taken up into heaven with a fiery chariot, but before he left, he took off his mantle and he handed it off to Elisha. And in doing so, Elijah recognized, my part's done. I've done what it is that God's called me to do. Someone else's turn to take it over. And gave it in the very capable hands of Elisha. Today is All Saints' Day. We recognize and we remember the lives of those who came before us, who walked their journey, who had a chance to live their story and did it to the best of their ability. And in doing that, gave to us each something special. Shared with us part of their lives and their love and made us who we are in big ways or small ways. Not so that the journey ends, but so that it continues then through us. For us then to then take the mantle, walk with it and use it as best we can and then share it when it's our time to pass it to someone else. That in remembering these lives, we do so with mixed feelings, feelings of mourning and sadness for not having them anymore, feelings of love and joy for what they've given to us and how they live their lives, feelings of thanksgiving to God for having blessed us with knowing them for as long as we've had, and to be able to say, even in this moment, thank you, Lord, for their life. Thank you, Lord, for helping them to live the way that they did, that your name might be praised, and we might take what we can and share it with others. And so as I call the names today, I ask that whoever has their rose to bring it up and to place it on the altar. And we'll have a moment of silence where we will thank God for their lives. And we will ask God to use what we can from it to share God's love with others. I'm going to do something here. I'm going to get on Zoom briefly. And so that those who are on Zoom can have a closer look at what's going on. Oh, man. Lord, we thank you for the life and for the love that you've helped us experience through Gregory S. Kiefer, otherwise known as Greg. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for the life and love of Ora May Luver. Amen. We thank you, Lord, for the life of love of William D. Ruffner, Jr., otherwise known as Bill. We thank you, Lord, for the life and love of Margaret Peggy Lou Louise Whitfield. We thank you, Lord, for the life and love of Dorothy Yoakum, who did not like it when I called her Dot. Amen. Let's pray. Lord, we thank you for the lives that these roses represent. We thank you, Lord, also for all those lives that we remember that are no longer around us, those lives who have touched us and lived your love in the way that they have. Lord, we thank you. And we pray that we take what you've given to us through them and through your Son and live a life that is honoring to you. We thank you for the opportunities that we will face to do just that. We pray this all in the name of Jesus. Amen.